Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my joyous wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Hag Pesach Sameach to you and to tonight's listeners. May you be blessed as we continue our review of the spring appointments that God made with all mankind. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, you are our El Shaddai, our God Almighty, who sent us your Passover lamb, our reason for living. For without you, without your salvation, we are nothing. Because of your resurrection, we can live and confess that Satan is a defeated foe, soon to be realized at your second coming. We pray for a soon end to the Ukrainian war and all of its suffering victims. We continue to plead the salvation blood of Yeshua on our unsaved loved ones, and also for the recent health request. May your shalom encapsulate all believers, and may tonight's lesson meet your approval. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. So, Hag Pesach Sameach means joyful Passover festival, and is for escaping from Egypt slavery, and for us Christians, the day of his Passover crucifixion, although appears sad, in reality, we thank God for it, especially because he lives, we can face tomorrow, because we know the end of the story.
Yeah, really, you know, next to his birth, that is the most glorious day of the entire year, Christians.
Oh, amen again.
Hey. All right, update on your take about the war.
Well, it's pretty obvious that the global elitists want the war to expand, but they want the Americans to want it as well. So they continually use propaganda. The latest is Russia is using chemical weapons, as we assumed they would eventually say. As well, they show us the awful and horrendous visuals so American citizens will insist on further involvement. You know, to move the blame of a third world war away from government and onto the people. I have even heard some regular citizens say it was about time to put boots on the ground.
And then many more will die.
Which, of course, fits their dream to lessen the population and make huge profits for the industrial complex.
This is not new and predictable by anyone who knows even just a little bit of history.
I know. Putin has hired now some mercenary thugs to help fight this war, as his own soldiers were proving to be not so up to par. So now they are, and they're much more ruthless, seemingly without a soul. As we said last week, and besides expanding Russian territory, one of the reasons Putin started all this is that he was informed about the probability of some of the many bioweapon labs being used against him and his people.
Well, we for sure know chemical weapons are indeed housed in Ukrainian labs.
Yes, as they were in China also, and funded by the United States and Hunter Biden's affiliations with certain companies. And now our Pentagon is accusing Russia of using chemical weapons, which Russia strongly denies. Anyhow, this is all pretty deep waters of demonic corruption.
Pray for the innocent. You know, many are Christians.
Mm-hmm. Within all this, more Jews are making aliyah to Israel, as Scripture says would happen. And it's our generation that has seen the bulk of them return and to see the fig tree blossom again.
God is in control.
Mm-hmm. We also pray many more will be born again as a result of their afflictions.
As Hosea 5:15 suggests, many will do. Well, how about some quick headlines?
Yes, well, as we see the previews of what is coming to those left behind, it's no surprise that food costs and inflation continues to rise, hence the third seal of Revelation, and also famine resulting in hunger, as the fourth seal in Matthew 24 prophesies. Of course, corporate media in Washington blames Putin, not our added sanctions or the enormous amount of money printing, which will push us into a cashless society, as also prophesied.
And aren't there some railway glitches?
Oh, right, yes. Due to the increase of crowding of Ukrainian refugees from Poland, therefore lessening grain deliveries, which are scarce anyhow.
And this obviously hurts America.
Right, because farmers get much of their fertilizer and grains from Ukraine. Therefore, China, which is now in lockdowns, and Bill Gates, well, they can come along and rescue those farmers and, of course, buy up more land.
Well, you know, it's all in their plan to grow GMOs.
With zero nutritional value.
Imagine that. Okay, what's happening in Israel?
Well, it's still Ramadan, and attacks continue. On Saturday, 100 Palestinians set fire to Joseph's tomb.
That's a very serious violation.
Yes, it's one of the most holiest places for every Jew. Terror attacks are increasing daily. And by the way, the Iran nuclear deal negotiations, they're stalled right now over Iran's insistence that its Revolutionary Guard be taken off the foreign terrorist list and that terrorism sanctions against them be all dropped.
Hopefully Biden's team won't give in to that.
Oh, it will eventually in the fullness of time.
Amen. All right, a quick statement on the vaccines.
You mean the RNA, or I should say the mRNA, gene therapy experiments?
Yes.
I am truly amazed that even with the loads of data and information about the unprecedented harmful effects of these experimental inoculations, people are still lining up for their boosters. It's absurdly crazy.
Right. You know, it's a lot of deception.
There is right now a pandemic of the vaccinated, as we knew would happen.
And now another variant is on the rise.
Yes, BA2. Just in time to demand mailing-in voting in November.
Yes, indeed.
And then there's Disney that is so sadly disgusting. Who could have ever thought they could reach such depths of immorality.
So many signs of his soon return.
You think? Oh, and one more thing. UFOs are back in the news as admittedly being real. There's testimonies of abductions and pregnancies, which, by the way, we reported on over 10 years ago.
And that didn't go over too well.
It did not. But stay tuned. More is coming on that topic.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll add you to our monthly mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay. Last week, we clarified the extremely important difference between God's feasts versus Jewish feasts and the Holy Convocations, which actually means rehearsals. So let us read again Leviticus 23, verse 2, as it should be translated.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Okay. They are God's appointments to be yearly rehearsed, so to better recognize how the Lord would, at some point, keep those appointments with mankind. So our Abba Father spoke to the children of Israel first because they were the first chosen. And now his church, as represented by the seven-branched candlestick in Revelation 1:20, also called the menorah, are chosen as well because we have been grafted into Israel's olive tree. In fact, Israel's own state seal is the menorah placed in between the olive branches.
God has a great sense of humor.
I know. For most Israelis don't see what the Christian sees right in that emblem.
As stated in Romans 11.
Yes. We have not replaced Israel, as replacement theology claims, for all Israel will be saved during Jacob's trouble, also called the birth pangs, because Israel will be spiritually reborn, and then all believers will be in the Messianic kingdom when Jesus returns bodily to earth.
Known as the Second Coming, Revelation 19.
So, there are seven appointments, and Jesus has already kept four: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, with the other three yet to be fulfilled in some fall season.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles.
Last week, and in our newsletter, we also explained the two calendars and its importance to understand that, if you want to be a serious student.
Which Hebrew 5 says we should be.
Amen. So last week we talked mostly about Passover, but we also included a teaching about the 4 days before Passover on Nisan 10 called Palm Sunday, the only day Jesus allowed them to call him king.
And that is very significant.
Well, it is, because during the reign of the coming Antichrist, since Satan desires kingship and godship, therefore he is a mimicker of Christ. I believe the Antichrist will very likely declare himself king and God on a Palm Sunday too. Because Jesus did. Exactly 3.5 years into the tribulation.
Called the abomination, as confirmed in Daniel 9 and Matthew 24.
And by the way, 3.5 years from Yom Kippur, which is on a Tishri 10, lands exactly on Palm Sunday, Nisan 10. So that is a huge hint as to when the tribulation could begin with a signed covenant, and therefore what day 7 years later it ends as well.
Also on a Yom Kippur some year.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about that, of course, in the fall. But last week we also talked briefly about the leaven, and tonight we will look a little further into the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. Now, let's go back historically to Egypt, after the Passover lamb was eaten, and after they applied the blood to the doorposts, and after the death plague had come. They quickly left Egypt after sundown, therefore now the 15th of Nisan. And of course, that's the original first feast of unleavened bread. They camped at Sukkot to retrieve the bones of Joseph.
Reference to that is in Genesis 50 and Exodus 14.
Then on the 16th, camped at Etham.
Numbers 33:6.
The next morning, still the 16th, until sundown, they journeyed to Pi Haroth, reaching the Reed Sea in the evening. Therefore, now, Nisan 17.
Exodus 14:9.
The Hebrews crossed through the parted sea through most of the night, when the Egyptians then entered also, and where God destroyed them all as he let the waters fall back into the sea during the morning watch.
Which in the Old Testament is between 2 and 6 a.m. Exodus 14:23-31.
Centuries later, also on Nisan 17, Jesus would put the nail in the coffin of Satan by rising from the dead, so had to be also during the morning watch on the same anniversary date.
And he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
Do you have any idea how so many never recognize the fact of how God so accurately and intricately pieced this all together, so typologically?
Well, only God could do.
No way could you say it's just a coincidence.
We are so blessed to know our spiritual roots.
Oh, it's a huge learning tool.
Mm-hmm.
And know that you are blessing God when you share this learning information. You just simply must do it.
Yeah, Romans 15:4.
Again on Passover Day, Nisan 14, soon after Jesus' side was pierced at 3 o'clock, his body was taken off the cross just before the high holy day. And John 19:31 refers to it as the extra or high Sabbath day, of unleavened bread, which began at sundown. Now, Nisan 15.
But still on Thursday.
Right. So Jesus died on a Thursday in that year, and at sundown started the 7 days of unleavened bread, where no yeast could be eaten or even exist anywhere in their house.
Well, because leaven is always a picture of sin.
Mm-hmm. He rose early Sunday morning on Nisan 17, the Feast of First Fruits, which might not always be on the 17th, but is always on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread.
Which is this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Remember, as we said last week, the Jewish people simply call the whole 8 days the season of Passover.
But it includes three feasts.
The day of his resurrection that year was Sunday morning, Nisan 17, and is also the anniversary of when the Jews' evil enemy Haman was hung in the book of Esther, sparing the death of all the Jews, and so therefore granting them life.
And also, on their first or civil calendar of Nisan 17, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat.
Well, and that represents new life as well. So let's read the scripture defining this barley feast of first fruits. Again, always on a Sunday. Read Leviticus 23, 10 and 11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheath of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheath before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
And that was a normal Saturday Sabbath, so therefore the day after is a Sunday. Jesus, as priest, also presented himself to the Father in heaven at the morning oblation.
Which is 9 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Remember when Mary Magdalene, being the first to see him resurrected, wanted to embrace him, but he instructed her not to touch him at this time, for he had not yet gone to his Father?
To fulfill the wave offering.
Right. And according to Jewish law, the priests were not to have any contact with anyone for 3 days till after this special first fruits offering was made to God in the temple.
So, Jesus really would fulfill every requirement.
I know. He even told Mary, a woman, to go to my brethren, and essentially preach to them that he was about to ascend unto his Father and your God.
Yeah, John 20:17, and then confirmed again in Hebrews 9:12.
So, after he returned from the Father, later the same day, still Sunday, Nisan 17, he appeared to his disciples, and then he encouraged them to touch him.
Luke 24, verse 39.
So he fulfilled the wave offering by quickly, the Greek word is harpazo, leaving the earth, presented himself to the Father, and returned fulfilling every aspect of the Feast of First Fruits, literally.
So now he could be touched.
Yeah. And he even ate fish and honey with them. In John 20, verse 22, he also breathed the Holy Spirit on them and opened their understanding of Scripture. They were now ready to preach with power. And we'll be covering Pentecost in June. But First Fruits is also the scriptural day they were told to begin the counting of 50 days to Pentecost.
Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16.
In other words, they always begin counting on Sunday during Passover from the Feast of First Fruits, so Pentecost would always be on a Sunday as well. Unfortunately, the modern Jews, since they really don't recognize First Fruits anymore, and that's probably because we so highly recognize it as the resurrection. Not sure. Anyhow, they therefore incorrectly start counting instead from the high Sabbath of unleavened bread.
So Pentecost doesn't usually fall on a Sunday on their calendar.
Right. But we follow the Word of God over all traditions, especially when they conflict with Scripture. Everything God does is precise, orderly, and with much detail. So again, he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
1 Corinthians 15:20.
Interesting that in the tribulation soon after our rapture, there is a group of 144,000 Jews who will get saved pretty quickly as their spiritual eyes will be opened. Perhaps they will actually be able to see our departure, which is also called the harpazo, like Elijah saw Elijah go up and then received a double anointing. Remember that? And I believe the 144,000 will receive that as well. Anyhow, Revelation 14 refers to them as the first fruits of Jacob's trouble. So obviously we are gone and replaced by these wonderful new evangelists that are granted a special seal of protection.
Where not even a hair on their head will be hurt.
Yep, Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. There has been a fire of enthusiasm in Israel over the last few years, as many really are expecting their Messiah, and even built an altar for sacrificing just outside the Western Wall, and have for a few years now done what they term a reenactment of the real sacrifice of the Lamb. They have been fervently praying that soon they will be allowed to have the Passover sacrifice on the actual Temple Mount, as stated in the Torah, because they are truly believing that their temple will soon be built.
Most Christians suspect it will be part of the coming peace deal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And by the way, everything for many years is prepared and ready to go when the temple is completed. Even all the priests, their vestments, the utensils, the menorah, harps, shofars, and silver trumpets. The high priest has even been designated, and the red heifer has been born in Israel. So they are very close, and we know from Revelation 11 that there will be a temple built during the first year of the tribulation. And since the church is gone just prior to the tribulation, we won't see it. But actually, it's the Antichrist temple anyway. So, Christians really should not fund this project if any organization pleads on your soft side for money. This is all for the Antichrist. We are no doubt watching his kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom, taking shape. So now I must ask you, are you truly saved of the heart? If so, are you a witness for Christ? When is the last time that you shared this wonderful gospel? The major question is, have you really accepted that gift? Or would you rather just pay the debt for sin all by yourself? In hell, I might add. You know, he went through hell for you, but it's your choice who pays. How well do you know him? Jesus is your only Savior. He has paid your debt. If you're listening today just by accident and you haven't given your heart to the Lord, I have to say to you, wake up, sinner. Don't continue to be a fool. Time is really running out. Besides his return, you don't know if you'll live tomorrow. Give your heart to the Lord. What have you got to lose? You have a lot to gain. And now I want to leave you with the ironic blessing from Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that really special peace, that shalom. So till next time, sha'alu shalom. Yerushalayim, and that means pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.